Blog Talk Radio.
And it is my pleasure to welcome to the show, live from Baltus Roll Golf Club, the Golf Digest Community Manager, part of the social media team, Mr. Corey Bradburn. Hello, sir. How are we today?
Hey, Jeremy. Great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fine. First of all, how is it out there?
You know what? I actually stayed in Manhattan today, so I don't know, but from what I've seen, it's very hot.
Seems like that, which is a perfect segue for what the two of us are here to talk about, which is golf fitness, because this is one of those weeks where guys got to make sure that they're physically fit, because with all the humidity and these long five-hour rounds that major championships bring, if you're not fit and if you're not ready for this grind, it could be a very long week for you.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think we saw glimpses of it at Oakmont with the long days and the weather delays, but the heat and humidity certainly brings an extra element to, I would say that would favor those who are in better physical condition than others.
Yeah. All right, so here's why Corey's on the show. Corey, besides being part of the Golf Digest social team, is a fitness guy and a fitness coach on the side. And on Sunday at the Open Championship, Johnny Miller said the following about Mr. Rory McIlroy. Quote, I think he overdid the weight room, personally. I don't think that helped him at all. Same thing with Tiger Woods. You just get carried away with wearing the tight shirts and showing off their sort of muscle, unquote. Corey was not happy on Twitter. He said so, and I thought, I've wanted to talk golf fitness on the show for a while, so let me have him on, and here he is. When you heard Johnny say those words, the first thought that went through your mind was?
ridiculous, but I think Johnny knows exactly how to press people's buttons in both a good and bad way, which, you know, definitely helps with viewership, but, you know, aside from that, I think he probably was speaking his mind, as he always does, and I just happen to disagree. I think that there is much more of a plan and process to what Rory and even Tiger did, and you can certainly overdo exercise, but you can certainly underdo it as well. So I strongly disagree that Rory is trying to show off his muscles. I think he's a very fit guy and happens to wear Nike products, which are very athletic fitting clothes, and guess what, he happens to be able to rock that type of material pretty well, and he's in phenomenal shape. So I don't think it hurts his game by any means, and I think it would be absurd for anybody to believe that he's just going into the weight room throwing weights around with no plan at all. I think more than anything, especially what we heard from his press conference today at the PGA, that he wants to keep winning major championships. And I would venture to say he probably has top, physiologists, nutritionists, sports scientists, therapists, all working with him on a daily basis to help him come up with the best plan of action to help him achieve his goals of winning more majors. And fitness is certainly a part of that for him.
Let's dive into this for a second, because Johnny's not the only person who has said this, and there is
true.
A theory out there that guys who have come to be jacked and come to be ripped and come to be built are somehow doing negative things to their golf game, and I think the Men's Health cover, which he was on, didn't help his cause because he looked extremely ripped on that cover, and I think that just played into the fact that he cares more about the publicity and the PR and all these magazine covers than he actually does on his golf game. So let's dive into this. From what you have been able to attain as somebody who's interested in this subject, what is he trying to do with his fitness to help himself on the golf course?
Well, yeah, I certainly think there's some type of, physiologically, it's sort of a looks appeal to it, but I don't think that he's gotten any sort of carried away. You know, I think more than anything, especially as golfers, you know, strength, balance, power, range of motion, and more, there's more and more research that's coming out that's showing us that a combination of all of those things can lead to a better, more efficient golf swing. It can actually lead to more focus based on the different elements that are being released throughout the body while you're exercising. You know, you're releasing endorphins, enkephalins, brain-derived neurotrophic factors. So there's plenty of other things that are going on that's very synergistic in the body. And if you're not moving around very much, you know, besides just repeating a golf swing over and over, you're not going to get those extra elements. So I really don't think that it's more so because, you know, he just wants to show off his six-pack or look, you know, super ripped. I think there's definitely a purpose to it, and that's more of a byproduct and not the focus.
Talking with Golf Digest social media team member Corey Bradburn here about golf fitness. I think the other side of this coin is that they see the Shane Lowrys and the Darren Clarks and the Tim Herrons and the
John Daly's.
Brendan DeJongs of the world, who are not
sure.
The guys who are, you know, sitting there in the gym every day, and they see them playing great golf, and they say, so what do these guys have to be doing in there? It doesn't help them. It can only hurt them. They can only get hurt, blah, blah, blah. So what's your answer to those people on the other side of the spectrum who say, why the heck is he in there in the first place?
Sure. And, you know, as we all know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to win majors. There's more than one golf swing that is proven to be effective. I don't think that everybody needs to be doing what Rory's doing to become a great golfer. I think you should do what works best for you personally. But I happen to think that if you want to feel better and you want to have more endurance and you want to have an edge, because these guys, they're all amazing golfers. Like, we just normal everyday weekend guys or people who just love the game of golf will never be able to comprehend what it's like to compete at that level. So these guys are looking for an edge. Right. And, you know, for someone with the mindset of Rory, who is naturally a competitive guy, who's naturally, you know, fiery and wants to have as much of an edge as possible, that psychologically, just having that routine every day and having that intensity is going to, I think, not only help him physically, but also psychologically say, you know what, I've got an edge when it's coming down to the 72nd hole on a really hot weekend in New Jersey at Baltusrol. And I'm tied or one down and I need to make birdie or eagle to win this thing and close it out. He knows that he has that, you know, that strength to be there and be focused and pull it off. So for the flip side, I don't think that, you know, somebody like a Shane Lowry or anything, if somebody doesn't want to exercise or thinks that they might get injured, you know, then that's fine. I wouldn't say that I would agree with that, but I wouldn't, you know, come down hard on someone who thinks that what they're doing is giving them the best chance to win come Sunday. So, you know, there's so many ways to do it. There's so many different body types. There's so many different attitudes and mindsets, but when it comes to the highest level, you know, I personally agree with the way Rory's doing it as far as trying to have that extra edge. So.
You mentioned something to me off air, which I found fascinating, which is I think a lot of people look at Justin Thomas, who's 150 pounds. He looks, you know, like a thin pasta. He is so
150 pounds soaking wet, maybe. No.
What?
I said 150 pounds soaking wet, maybe. No, I'm joking.
yep, exactly. You know, he doesn't famously. Hi, Corey, still there?
Yep.
Okay, sorry about that. That's called the power went out.
Hey, that's okay.
It happens. It's a very interesting thing when the power goes out right in the middle of a show. And I thought the power would go out yesterday during the thunderstorms and not today when it's fine. Go figure.
Go figure.
Yeah, so what I was starting to say was that I think it's very interesting that people think about Justin Thomas and they think, oh, there's no fitness side to what he does. But you said to me there certainly is a fitness angle to what he does.
Well, there's certainly science that, you know, I guess the way he hits the ball so far is not possible for most people, but he creates so much torque and so much leverage with the way he swings the ball, and he's so flexible that he's able to make it work. I wouldn't recommend trying to get up on the toes of both feet for most golfers, and I'm certainly not a golf instructor, so I probably don't recommend anything about the golf swing, but he is, I would say, an outlier in terms of, you know, the physical capabilities. And, you know, along with the fitness regimen that most of these guys do, and I certainly hope JT is doing what he can to, you know, take care of his body, at least before and after he plays, is that, you know, he strengthens those certain ligaments and tendons, and that definitely strain during that type of movement. I mean, golf is a very, like, I don't know, it's not physiologically like the most orthodox thing anyone could do to their body. So most people are just bound to get injured anyway. You look at Jason Day, and I mean, you know, he's super fit, but you know, he goes through back injuries. I guarantee those are not from lifting or exercising or overexerting himself in the gym. It's a combination of so many different things that, you know, it'd be really hard for somebody to pinpoint the exact reason. You know, I think we all want to just diagnose one specific cause for everything, and sometimes that's just not possible.
That is a very true statement, and especially with the back and the neck, it's just it's a strain. It's just not a normal motion, especially impact and follow through. It's just not something that backs and necks are just naturally used to. We're talking to Corey Bradburn here on Teeing It Up. It's interesting because I think people think about Tiger and they think all that stuff with the seals, all that training he did, all that running he did, all that lifting he did is why his body is now breaking down. And I don't think we know the truth of what Tiger's really done fitness wise and the true reasons behind Tiger's decline. But I do think that I think this is partly why there's been this myth about golf fitness and this controversy about guys in the gym is I think Tiger, put such a spotlight on golf fitness that I think people look at him and what's happened to him in the last 5 years and say that'll happen to everybody. And that's just not the case. You can't say that what happened to one person will happen to everybody else.
That's true. And there's a few reasons why I think that will not happen to everybody else. One, I don't think anybody else on the PGA Tour is going to go through Navy SEAL training. Tiger has – we all know that Tiger had a mindset and probably still does that is just – that nobody else has ever had in the game. I mean, he is hyper-intense, right, hyper-competitive, and everybody else was playing for second when he teed it up in his prime. So I think that probably resulted in him overexerting himself to an extent, right? So, I mean, he's broken down a few times. He's had 3 back operations, a broken leg, a few knee surgeries, right? Most guys aren't going to go through all of that physically, but I think he had a different threshold than most guys. And secondly, there's way more science. There's way more technology that can show us how to safely build muscle, how to safely build flexibility and range of motion, balance, power, speed, hand-eye coordination, all of those factors that come with building a PGA Tour quality golf swing that didn't exist when Tiger was doing what he was doing. He totally revolutionized it, but you can go back and say, you know, that guys criticized Gary Player back, you know, in the 60s when he was, you know, an animal, and he still is an animal when it comes to working out. I mean, what he did was incredible to revolutionize, you know, fitness and the way golfers perceived it as well. So he's still very intact. He hasn't had too many ailments or issues, but Gary Player didn't go through Navy SEALs training, at least to my knowledge. So, you know, I think there is a threshold, and I think people can cross that line of overexerting themselves physically and overdoing exercise. Anybody can overdo anything when it comes to trying to achieve a goal, you know, so it does require a certain balance, I think.
One last thing on the fitness end of it, which is, I think a lot of people don't realize this, who are golfers out there listening to this, that you can get a fitness training session at a bunch of clubs across this country the same way you can get your golf swing and your golf clubs fitted, and that people can create a fitness plan for you that doesn't lead you to be mindlessly lifting in the gym. And I think that's part of this too, that people think, okay, let me do this to help my golf fitness, and they don't even go through the proper training, so to speak, and the proper fitting of the fitness to figure out what they should be doing in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are plenty of you know, academies and places all over the country where there are TPI certified, you know, strength and conditioning people who would be more than happy to help you build a program around, you know, the swing and your swing and your body, and help you make that more efficient, help you, you know, just basically play better golf. I think that's what everybody listening probably wants to do. I know I do, so I should probably get tested too. But, you know, aside from that, I think there's a lot that you can do with just, you know, your body and gravity. I know we see these pictures of Rory, you know, squatting hundreds and hundreds of pounds and, you know, deadlifting and stuff, and all these, you know, Nike commercials that he's in with all the heavy weights, and just to, you know, glamorize that intensity of it. And I think there is a place for that, but that's probably not where most people should start.
Yeah. I'm talking to Corey Bradburn, who is part of Golf Digest's social team. Here's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, which is, everybody who dabbles in social media knows how tough jobs like yours can be when you have to sift through Facebook comments and all sorts of tweets and Instagram comments. And when it comes to politics and when it comes to news, they can get really vile, they can get argumentative, they can get combative, they can get sexist, and all sorts of horrible things. What have you seen in, you know, quote-unquote golf Twitter? Are we a fairly peaceful group when it comes to talking about the game we love on social media?
I think we're peaceful. I also think we're very passionate, which is definitely not a bad thing. You know, I think it's interesting to see how big of a voice people can have when they're behind, you know, when they're typing on a keyboard versus, you know, having a discussion in person. But that's not the case for everyone. And I would say overall, as a general rule, there is way more positive. The golf community online is way more positive than it is negative. There's going to be rotten apples in every barrel. So, you know, that's just how it goes. And, you know, doing this for a few years now, I'd say, you know, we've developed some thicker skin, but at the same time, I mean, you know, we try to create and produce content and publish content that everyone can enjoy. You know, we do our best to do that, and you know, it's not always going to work that way, but I would say overall, it's golf relative to other industries. I certainly would not want to be involved in politics right now. I know that would be probably a little bit more vile than it gets for golf. But
yeah, you know, one of the things that you plus Ashley Mayo have really embraced on the Golf Digest social team is every new platform and every new service and every new anything that you know suddenly appears. Did you ever think you'd be Snapchatting for work?
No, I didn't. I mean, I didn't even know what Snapchat was a year and a half ago. So, but you know, I think to your point, the ability for us to be excited about new platforms and try them out and see how it fits with our brand and see how it fits with our messaging and see if it works. you know, that's really fun and exciting, and it's not always the case. You know, so we've, you know, planted firm roots in a few of the platforms, and we're starting to see the fruits of our labor in others like Snapchat. And it's really, really fun. And we can see immediately what's working and what isn't. So, you know, that's a fun part of my job. But no, I didn't think I'd get paid to post on Facebook or to tweet or post on Instagram. I definitely am lucky, and I'm definitely lucky to be able to work with someone like Ashley, who's taught me a lot as well.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that is so wild about the world of golf is that, you know, things like Duffnering, which seems like the most random thing in the history of mankind, can suddenly become mainstream, and people outside of golf suddenly, you know, want to, you know, talk about, think about, and see Jason Duffner. What has been in your time on the social media team kind of the wackiest, wildest, I never thought this would become a big deal story partaken in?
Wackiest or wildest story, that's tough. It's strange because sometimes we'll post things on Facebook that, you know, we're just like, oh, okay, it's like a standard blog post, and then all of a sudden we look back on it and it's, you know, doing better than anything else that we thought would outperform it. I don't have any specific examples in mind, but I remember there was one post that we did during, I think it was the President's Cup, where we did a little meme of Jordan Spieth, like sitting like on a tree or something, just like relaxing. And the meme was like Golf Channel and chill. And there was it's pretty funny how much like interaction that got. And, you know, it's just the playoff of, I guess what all the young kids are doing now with the Netflix and chill thing. I don't really know, but it's fun to be able to try that stuff out. And, you know, I can't think of any like really specific thing that's totally blown up, but, you know, using GIFs, keeping it fun, but still being able to stick to the core of what we do and how we, you know, how we discuss the game of golf it's fun to combine those two on social.
See, for me, I think what the No Laying Up guys have done with this whole tour sauce concept and how Justin Thomas especially has embraced it, I think that has helped you guys in a sense, because it has, you know, for those of us who are on social media and love what those guys do, I think it kind of said, okay, wacky posts that are not just your normal golf news stories are okay. And when the guys themselves embrace them, that I think gives you guys a lot of freedom to start in being so creative in what you do. And I think that's the biggest change that I've seen as somebody who's been following the sport now for over 20 years, is that the side stuff, the off the course, the dinners, the celebrations afterwards, the funny stuff on practice round days, the stuff that happens in hotel rooms, that side of the game is so much more accessible now. And I think that's where you guys have been successful and how others have been successful. And that I feel like I know Ricky Fowler, the person, a whole lot better than I ever did Tiger Woods, the person.
Absolutely. And part of that has to do with just his personality, but a lot of it is also the platforms that he has at his fingertips now. And you're absolutely right with the No Laying Up guys. They're hilarious. I think they certainly have the freedom to publish a little bit more, outlandish things, but it's really fun to feed off of that and utilize what they do. Cause they're really, really creative. And it's also fun to see, you know, what the pros are doing behind the scenes. You know, I feel like we get a sneak peek in Ricky's life, Justin Thomas, Smiley Kaufman, Beef is now on Snapchat as well. So, I think it's Beef Picks that, but you know, it's fun to see that these guys are more transparent, with their own lives. And really, I mean, they're building their own personal brands too, at the same time. And that, you know, that makes people feel more connected, makes the fans feel more connected. So when they do see them in person, you know, when fans see these pros at a tournament or, you know, somewhere in real life, they feel like they know them even better, just like you said.
Who do you like this week?
Oh, let's see. That is it. You know, I think Dustin Johnson is playing so well. I know he's one of the favorites anyway, and that's not a dark horse or sneaky pick or anything, but I would not be surprised if he won a second major this year and took home Player of the Year honors.
You know,
I also think Rory will play really well this week too.
Hey, he hit 345 off off the first.
Yeah,
tee
long drive.
So,
yeah,
so.
Not bad.
Hey, this warm weather helps him. You know, this warm weather helps that whole distance gap which he has over so many. For me, I think Stenson and Mickelson have to be 1-1A, purely because of what happened 2 weeks ago. For me, I think Phil gets it done. I love Brant Snedeker as the fourth first-time major winner this year to kind of just sneak up there.
Ooh.
And Aaron Barry is my way off-the-radar guy. His winning and celebration at Barbasol 2 weeks ago was so cool. And I think somebody like him who's streaky and can go low with the soft conditions this week, it could play right into his hands.
I think it'll be a very exciting tournament, and hopefully we see somebody celebrating pretty in an epic way come Sunday evening.
I doubt anybody can get on the beast level of I can't wait to get hammered.
But let's hope.
Because that line. I mean, that is the greatest press conference quote I think we may have seen since I'm such an idiot.
That was awesome, and that put him on the map. And you know, he's such a likable guy. You know, hope to keep seeing him around, and hope to see him playing more in the U.S. next year too.
And as a nice way to. Sorry, promote your colleague. On tomorrow's Teeing It Up, Steve Hennessy tells us what it was like to walk with Deep on Thursday in front of those. In front of his home crowds there. So that's
nice.
On tomorrow's Teeing It Up, which is 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Corey Bradburn, part of the Golf Digest social media team and a fitness guy himself. Thank you, sir, for coming on Teeing It Up. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Take care and enjoy
the
PGA.
You too.
That's it for today's Teeing It Up with Jeremy Shone. We're back tomorrow, as I said, with Steve Hennessy. I've done this show for 9 years. It's the first time the power's gone out during it, so there's always time for something new. Thank you for joining us, and just keep in mind that come next week, we start previewing the Olympics. Time flies when you're having fun. So for Corey Bradburn, thank you for listening to Teeing It Up with Jeremy Shilling. It's available anytime on archive on iTunes. And thank you for listening on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.